Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're listening to UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have legendary Brent Jones on the line with me. Brent, say hello and let people know what's going on.
Legendary.
Legendary. Woo,
does that mean that I'm old or something? What's going on?
Well, you put in the work. You put in the work. That's why we say when key players speak, because we recognize the work.
The people that we interview.
So you deserve that. That's okay. Take that.
Okay. Hey. Let me tell you, I do. I've been in the game for a minute. I thank God that he keeps me relevant. I thank God that he is still spreading my music. I just got an email today from a choir in, Lord have mercy, Japan somewhere, singing Open Your Mouth and Say Something. So I thank God.
and that's the problem. And that's why God gave me this assignment, to recognize those who are putting in the work. And speaking about that, you know, your length of time in the industry, you've also dealt with a lot of record labels as well. And now you with JDI.
Oh, yeah.
But can you just talk a little bit about your journey through record labels and where you're at now?
I am technically an independent artist.
Okay.
I have been on the multi-million dollar labels, EMI Gospel back in the day, now called Motown Gospel. And those were good years. You know, but it was just a different musical climate. You know, great executives. I questioned some of their understanding of this genre of music.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they were nice people, you know. They took my meetings. They, you know, heard the brand and, you know, and what have you. But now that I'm in control of everything that I do musically, starting in 2014 with my big Easter single, He Rose,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the best situation that I've ever been in. The best situation. And I'm partner with JDI, James Roberson and JDI. We are business partners. I am not an artist on his label. We are business partners. And so it is the best, Nigeria, situation that I've ever been in. And I thank God for just preserving me. And, you know, there was a time when to be an independent artist, that was a stigma.
Right.
And people look down, you know, people look, oh my God, that means no one really likes you, you know, you know, but now all the artists, all my peers, and I'm not going to call names, that are on labels, they're trying to get out of their situation. So
right.
I thank God. I mean, I took a big chance and spent a lot of money and investing into myself back in 2014 when I did He Rose. I did the whole record myself, and I just didn't know what was going to happen, you know, and I presented it to my business partner now, James Roberson, and he said, let's do it together. Let's do it together. And the rest is history. I mean, everybody sings He Rose on Easter.
That's
I mean,
right.
I can't tell you the texts and the emails and all the, you know, hits on social media. Oh, we sang the song today. The Sopranos killed. Oh, my God. It was, you know, all that. So, and then with Open Your Mouth and Say Something, it just kept on going. And now I just got word that we're number two on Billboard with Nothing Else Matters. Miss Anderson, let me tell you something. I'm glad to be where I am.
That's right. Now, I like what you said, multi-million dollar labels to being independent. What is one of your biggest takeaways that you now apply to your business ethics now? And what was one of your biggest disappointments?
Biggest thing that I apply now is knowing my worth, doing good work, and not being afraid to invest in myself.
Okay.
Not waiting around for people to say, oh, we get it. I get it. Me and God talk every day. Get it who I am. And, mm-hmm. you know, my biggest disappointment is they didn't get it.
Mm.
You know? Well, yeah. they got some of it.
Right.
You know, I had big singles, you know, Don't Wait Till Midnight,
right.
Good Time. You know, they got that part of it. I said, yeah, but there is another side of Brent Jones that you guys are not trying to show the people. And I was that person who, meaning I was a minister of music of a church, a local church music department, before I was Brent Jones and the TP Mob and all the urban
right.
sexy looking, you know,
mm-hmm.
swagged out, all that stuff. Look, you know, I love the swag. I love, you know, oh my God, Brent, you're so fine. Hey, my ego loves all that. But before I was any of that, I was a minister of music, choir director, sitting at the piano, teaching people how to sing, teaching people songs. That's really who I am at heart. And so since they didn't get that, it was a disappointment. But woo, when I tell you, gotta hold it up for you to reap the benefit from it. Come on, somebody.
I know that.
And so that's what's happening now. You know, I leave next week. I'll be on tour literally the full month of October, and I have dates all the way till March already. And I'm not bragging.
Brent, hold on 1 minute.
Yes.
This is Urban Buzz Magazine, where key players speak. You have every right to brag. Go on.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, and so I'm doing my thing. I leave next week. I'll go to Dallas, and then we're back at a major church in L.A., and then we're back at another major church in the Inland Empire. Then I'm to Atlanta. Then I'm to D.C. I do a 3-week tour in Italy starting in December.
Wow.
Let me tell you something.
Wow.
My schedule is lit. I mean, it really is. It's lit. So I'm good, you know, but there was just a lot of disappointments. You know, I had a big disappointment that just happened about 30 minutes ago, you know.
Right.
I thought it was going to be this, but it turned out to be that. In shock as I am and as disappointed as I am, I know God has a plan. Now,
yes.
What gets on my nerves is he don't tell me what the plan is.
Well, that's because we can't really handle it. We just want to be nosy.
Right, right. And, you know, I got a song that fear and faith can't live together. So either I'm going to walk in faith or I'm going to walk in fear. So I got to just keep focused. And I tell this to everybody. Sometime in your vision and your dream, you're not going to know, doggone it. So quit trying to know.
Now, Nothing Else Matters. This is a big single.
Mm-hmm.
It's really climbing up the charts. How did you get inspired for that? And let us know that process.
Nothing Else Matters was inspired by a song, R&B. You know, I'm an R&B thug. Let me tell you something. I love gospel music, but I am a 80s and 90s R&B dude.
Yeah.
And there was a group back in the 90s called High Five.
Uh-huh.
From Waco, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy Riley worked with them. And there was a song called The Kissing Game.
Yes.
And that's always been one of my favorite grooves, always been one of just my favorite melody lines and the simplicity, but the sweetness of it all. And Tony's voice, the lead singer of the group, God rest his soul. And so I was just listening to that jam one day, just kind of jamming out with the wifey. And I'm like, and during COVID, and I wasn't good during COVID. I was depressed, anxious, trying to figure everything out. You know, everything shut down.
Right.
And so I had to get out of my funk. And so getting out of my funk, listening to some High Five and Teddy Riley, this groove just got in my system. And my wife said, babe, you're going to have to use some of your music to get yourself out of this funk.
Right.
And so that's what I did, Nigeria. I just did. I just, you know, instead of complaining, I dare you to praise him.
Come on.
I don't care who's looking at me.
I love it.
What I'm saying? It's just, you're going to have to praise God so nothing else matters. There's a point in your praise where you don't care who's looking, who sees what your shoes look like,
right.
What you got on. There's a point in praise where you don't care.
Okay? Right.
And I teach that that's the worship. See, praise is the vehicle, but worship is the destination. And so that is what it is. You know, as good as God has been to me, when you see me praising and I look a little strange, I don't care who's looking at me. I don't care.
True story. I don't care.
And so I just put that lyric, that hook to some great music, man, and everyone seems to be loving it. And so thank you, Jesus.
Speaking of that, what is one of your favorite songs you wrote for yourself or someone else or both?
Fear and Faith is definitely one of my favorites. Fear and Faith was the last song that I wrote for Open Your Mouth and Say Something. I needed a song that kind of felt Caribbean and had that whole vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to talk about faith.
Right.
But everyone kind of talks about faith like it's just so easy. Oh, I just got faith in God. And look, faith ain't easy.
Right.
So for all you folks that are preaching that faith, just have faith. Look, stop it. Faith is not easy. You have to fight the good fight of faith.
Come
it
on.
It is difficult. Sometimes you got to fight the enemy that's in you.
Come on.
And we are a people that want instant stuff, and doggone it, faith is not easy. But either you're going to walk in that or you're going to walk in fear. And so it's just one of those songs that talk about the pull, the dynamic of the fight between the fear and the fight between having faith. So that's what it is. And so it's definitely one of my favorite jams. And, you know, people are singing that, and I'm getting all these emails. People are leading it, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I love performing it. I love it when I can get the whole audience involved, and when I scream fear and faith can't live together and they scream it back to me. You know, yeah. I love all that.
Yeah. You write, you produce, you perform. Out of the three, what's your favorite to do?
Nigeria, I think I like performing because I love to see people transform.
Mm.
And I know music is the universal language that transforms people. And so the creative process getting to this stage is great, but it's something about when that music actually touches someone's heart and mind and soul. It's when you see the transformation in their eyes, when you see the transformation in, I'm going to stand up because everybody else is standing up. But then when they stand up and then they start grooving a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, you get it. I know you try to be gangster in front of your girl, but that nothing else matter groove then got into you. Yeah, I see you. The being on stage is the favorite thing for me. I love people,
right,
you know, and
right.
So that's important to me.
Cool. You not only do gospel, and you said you like your 80s groove, you've worked with a lot of secular artists as well. And when you
yes.
were saying that they didn't get it, was it that part of you that they didn't get? That now, today, is super popular?
That's one of the things they didn't get, you know. Even when I chose Coco to do Don't Wait Till Midnight, they were looking at me like the big multi-million dollar label was kind of looking at me sideways. Coco? Who is that? And I'm like, one of the greatest singing black females in the freaking world.
Right.
You know, and they were like, well, we were thinking Dorinda and Karen and who I love. Now, let me tell you, I'm a Clark fanatic. I'm a Clark.
Right.
I know. I'm a Clark sister addict.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If I'm going to be hooked to anything musically, it's that them Clark sisters,
mm-hmm.
you know. But that's not the sound I wanted for Don't Wait Till Midnight. I didn't want that because I remember hearing Coco for the first time with SWV.
Child.
I was like, that's the voice that
right.
I want on one of my records. I didn't even know what the record was going to be.
Right.
I said, but that vibrato, that soprano holler, that is what I want. And so I had to kind of fight and, you know, convince them and, you know, kind of, you know, have a little spoiled temper tantrum and, you know, because they were like, well, we want, you know, this is before Kim Burrell was a big name. And,
right.
you know, they were talking about Kim. I remember them talking about Kim Burrell. And I was like, no, I don't want anybody gospel because
right.
my music is very crossover.
That's right.
I talk to not only the saints, but I talk to the homeboys and the homegirls walking up and down Crenshaw and Sunset and, you know, all the, you know, big streets in Los Angeles. So this is who I hear. So long story short, they gave in. Watch this. It was probably because of the success of Good Time.
Okay.
So in Good Time is a sample from the Isley Brothers. You know
right.
that, right? So they kind of was like, okay, all right, let's do this Coco thing. Coco was in a big play that came to L.A. And my people talked to her people. We went into the studio and Lili and Taj said, we have never heard Coco sing like that ever.
Let me tell you
and
something.
So,
that's one of my favorite songs, too. Don't Wait Till Midnight. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
You only
oh
call
God.
Me when you need the lyrics. First of all, the lyrics.
What?
I'm a lyrics person,
yeah.
so I don't care too
oh,
much
wow.
about the beats.
Me too. Me too.
But if that them lyrics is fire, I was like, you only call me when you need me. You know,
come
like,
on,
what?
Come on.
What?
Look how God would feel. Because you know, we get a bit out of shape. We'll start throwing shade. We'll stop talking to you if we feel like you just using me in the relationship. You
right.
know? And so it's like you say that you love me.
Come
but,
on.
Mm.
Right. That part.
But I only hear from you
when
you need from
come
me.
On. That song was like, that was definitely a crossover song. And when I first started my radio show, I used to play that so much. I was like, okay, you're going to have to lighten
Nigeria,
up a little
well, let
bit.
Me tell you what, let me tell you what's so crazy. It's still one of the most requested songs in Los Angeles. They play it on the mainstream station.
I love it. I love it. It's well deserved.
You know, so, yeah. So I'm like, well, thank you, Jesus, again.
Right, right. What's another song you was involved with that you feel was on that kind of level as well?
I did the song on my first album, On Good Time. The song was called Cindy. I wanted to give sin a name.
Right.
And so I wanted to talk about sin, but I didn't want to do it the normal Sunday morning church way.
Right.
So I wanted to give sin a name. So I gave the sin a name, and this name is Cindy. Mm-hmm. And Cindy is anything that tempts you out of what your call and your purpose is, you know? And so we made it sound very sexy.
Right.
We made it sound very R&B, and I'm using my sexy voice. I'm not squalling and all that. So, you know, I got, you know, my wife said, you use your sexy voice on that one. So, you know, I'm using my sexy voice. It's on the first album. It's called Cindy. And we do a little skit right before it. One of my singers, she was the voice of Cindy. And then I sang it. And so it said, Cindy, Cindy, why do you want to play like you really love me when I know you hate me? You know, so it's just one of those things. I'm just having a conversation with that thing that's tempting me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So for some people, it's that other guy or that other girl. For some people, it's money. For some people, it's fame. You know, for whatever is tempting you out of what your purpose is supposed to be. You know, that's what we're talking about. So, yeah, that was one of those songs, too.
Give me an idea where you think gospel is now from when you started.
For whatever reason, I feel like we're trying to assimilate so much, we're losing our sound. Our sound of blackness.
Mm-hmm.
And peace out to the group Sounds of Blackness, who I absolutely adore. We are selling ourselves short. There's a power in what we do.
Right.
You know how I know it? Because when Justin Timberlake called me into the studio to work on Trolls, he didn't want me to sound assimilated.
Right.
He wanted me to bring what I bring.
Right.
You know, when I'm working with Childish Gambino, don't dumb the sound down. This is the sound that I want.
Right.
You know? And so, but we have said, oh, no, that's old. That's old school. You know, I get offended sometimes when people say old school. Okay, are you saying that for terms of endearment?
Right.
Because the music is great? Or are you saying, oh, that's old, we're not going to do it no more? And the latter is what has been adopted into a lot of our churches. Oh, we don't have to do that anymore. There's no need for a choir anymore. We're just going to have the sexy praise team with some sunglasses and scarf sing.
Stop
and
it.
So now what you do is you have six people in church who think they're better than everybody.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Right, right.
They think they're better than everybody because I've been chosen to be one of the six. And the 60 people that you had representing in the choir, now they don't know what to do with themselves, but you think you're being relevant because they have holes in their jeans. Okay.
Right, right.
Not that I'm trying to pit the praise him against the choir, but the choir represents I'm a little person coming together with another little person so we can be the biggest person.
Mm.
So that's what a choir represents.
Right.
It's not about me and the microphone that I have in my hand. It's about me coming together with other people and we do something bigger than ourselves.
Right. That's right.
So we got to keep on writing choir music.
Yes.
We have to, you know, don't throw the choir away. Bring them folk back, you know. And Nigeria, ministers of music have gotten lazy. It's easy to send everybody the MP3 of the song and say, meet me on Sunday and let's just sing.
Right.
That's easy.
Right.
But when you got to have choir rehearsal, you got to teach that tone deaf tenor how to sing. When you got to teach that lazy soprano how to breathe and hold her diaphragm and, you know, shape her words. That takes work.
Right. Right.
You know, and a lot of us don't want to work anymore. I'm still that dude that wants to work, man.
Good.
I want to work. You know, in Italy, they got me booked for 3 workshops I'm doing for some universities there. That's what it's all about. Let's teach what we do.
Come on now. I feel right now, too, that gospel should be the number one genre.
It really
should.
Support
on my radio show. I tell people, like, listen, I don't care whether you support gospel music or not. And I play all genres. I don't care. Sometimes I want to hear house music. Sometimes I want to hear jazz.
Right.
Sometimes I want to hear hip-hop. Sometimes I want to hear the hymns. I play it all. But I like what you said about we have to teach. We have to teach.
Gotta teach.
Yeah.
Because what we do is just as art as classical and
That's
jazz.
Right. That's right. That's right.
You know, it's just as much art form as that. So I'm very proud to say I'm a gospel music artist. Yeah, I can dabble in all of it, you know, but gospel music is so meaty and it's so many things that we can do with gospel music. And gospel music spills over into all kind of genres. And to me, R&B ain't good until there's some gospel on it.
Come on. Come on.
I'm sorry.
No,
I'm sorry.
I totally agree.
I remember the marriage between gospel and R&B. We've lost that.
Right.
We lost that marriage. They've gotten divorced. But I'm here to tell you, I can't wait till they come and say, I want to get remarried because I want to be the one to marry them. Because what Jasmine Sullivan does is everything that I need to hear. Lord, have mercy. With Fantasia, what she does.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then to make it on the gospel side, what Leandria Johnson does.
Man.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Leandria can do, Leandria can do R&B. Leandria can do jazz. But when Leandria rears that head back and leans down and grabs that mic and starts to let us have it, what?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. That marriage between gospel and R&B, I want it back. I want it back very bad.
Yeah, me
too.
I really do. Me too. I totally agree with you. And we will surely be playing it on the radio show. So let the people know how they can reach out to you on social media, your website.
First of all, thank y'all for just enjoying my music and listening to what I do. I really appreciate the single Nothing Else Matters is climbing the charts. Y'all go peep the game. We got ready to do a remix of Nothing Else Matters. So Nigeria, I make sure that you get one of the first to get it, okay?
I appreciate you.
You can find me on IG. IG is kind of where I live.
Okay.
It's Brent Jones Music, at Brent Jones Music. Please follow me, because I got, with the album coming out in 2 weeks, I'm doing a whole bunch of content. Y'all need to know where I'm going to be and all that kind of stuff. Brent Jones Music. Facebook, I'm on there because, you know, a lot of my church friends are on Facebook.
Right.
So it's Brent Jones
on
Facebook. So between IG and Facebook, I'm pretty much there. And then my website, www.brentjonessound.com. Brentjonessound.com.
All right. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So definitely let us continue to be one of your media outlets. And we love you. I love you. I love your music. Like I said, I'm truly a fan and I'm honored. And I thank you for taking the interview. And thank you.
And thank you for a great interview. You asked some of the best questions. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Man, thank you.